to a Hope 103.2 podcast.
During the Second World War, 6 million people, mainly Jews, were exterminated under Hitler's regime. Where was God when that happened? In 1996, Martin Bryant went on a shooting spree at Port Arthur, massacring 33 people. Where was God? As I say this, millions of people are being displaced in Sudan. Many of these will die of starvation and disease. How can God allow it? I hardly need to mention September 11, 2001, or October 12, 2002 in Bali. What was God doing? In 1976, a plane took off from Bombay Airport, only to crash moments later, killing everyone on board, including my father. If God is so caring, why didn't he do something? For every tragic situation, the same question can be asked: why does God let people suffer so much pain? Now, I spent a couple of weeks looking at this question earlier in the year, but I thought as we look at various doubts people have about Christianity, I should spend just 2 nights revisiting the theme in a slightly different way. Let me forewarn you, though, I don't think I can offer a completely satisfying solution. In fact, I don't think a perfect solution to this puzzle of suffering even exists. The question we're looking at is not like asking, what is 2 plus 2? That has an exact answer, 4. But there are some things in life which can't be explained like this. For instance, if you asked me, what exactly is love? I'm not sure I could give you a complete answer. I can describe what love is like by giving you my impressions, but I can't immediately give you a complete answer. I can only point you in the direction of an answer. In a similar way, to solve the puzzle of suffering, I can only point in a direction that I think will make things clearer. Firstly, then, does suffering disprove God? Over the years, I've had a number of people argue that the fact that we suffer disproves the existence of God. The argument goes something like this: if God really knew everything, could do everything, and loved everyone, he would not only know how to end suffering, he'd be able and willing to do so. The fact that suffering continues to exist suggests that God doesn't. This sounds reasonable enough at first, but actually the logic is not so watertight. In fact, it's just as reasonable to argue that since God knows everything, we should accept that he has some grand reason, not understandable to our small brains, for allowing suffering to continue. And since God can do everything, he's more than able to achieve this grand purpose. And since God loves everyone, his grand purpose must be a kind one in our best interests. In other words, logically speaking, suffering does not disprove God's existence at all. But maybe it proves he doesn't love us. I once met someone who was absolutely sure of that. I'll never forget the night in a small country pub in New South Wales when I mentioned that God loves people. I was most of the way through a concert I used to sing in a band, and I gave this short introduction to a song about God's concern for us. And out of the blue, I heard a strained voice holler from up the back of the room, "How do you know God loves us when he takes people from our lives?" I thought to myself, oh no, and I tried to avoid a long conversation. We were in the middle of a rock and roll show, but that wasn't going to get me off the hook, I'm afraid. I saw this silhouette of a woman as she got up from her table and walked right up to the stage. Again, she pressed me, "How do you know God loves us when he takes people from our lives?" I told her I'd love to speak with her after the show. She sat down and I went on. At the end of the night, I was packing up the equipment when I caught her eye from up the back. She pointed at me and motioned with her finger to come and talk. I did. That night, she told me her life story, and it was a sad one. She'd recently lost 2 of her closest family members in a car collision with a train. She was convinced that God had organized it to pay her back for her wrongdoing. She explained that she had betrayed her husband and gone off with another bloke, whom she'd also recently left. She figured that God was so angry with her that he decided to punish her by killing those close to her. Now, I tried for some time to convince her that God was not how she imagined, but she couldn't bring herself to believe it. As far as she was concerned, God hated her, and that was it. Was she right? Does God see our sinfulness and inflict suffering on us as a kind of payback? Well, it's true the Bible contains some pretty frightening stories about God's judgment. It seems that God occasionally does respond to human arrogance and evil by punishing people in some dramatic way. But this does not mean that all suffering is the result of his punishment. In fact, people in Jesus' day had a habit of blaming hardship on the personal sin of the sufferer. I know of at least three times when Jesus challenged this distorted view of God. For example, look at Luke chapter 13. Jesus actually taught that God is not a spiteful God, out to punish our every wrong move. The Bible in fact says that God deliberately holds off his judgment of us so as to give the world an opportunity to return to him and know his mercy and transformation. Despite the tragic life of this woman I met in the pub, God is not out to punish us here and now. There's an aspect of human suffering that is often overlooked. Our own will, our capacity to make decisions for ourselves. I guess it would have been easy for God to have programmed us all to be good consistently. He could have made us a little like robots so that we would never be selfish, never mess up. But God didn't want us to be obedient machines. He created us with a will so that we could relate to him, even though it causes him pain when we decide to rebel against him. If you knew that every time your loved one said they loved you, it was only because they were programmed to do so, how would you feel? The valuable thing about love is that it's an act of the will. Someone has chosen to treat you as special. Sure, there are risks involved, but the value of someone choosing to love you outweighs the risk. Maybe this is what God had in mind when he gave us will. It seems to me that we too often choose to throw away the Maker's instructions and so end up mucking up our lives and the lives of others. In Sudan, the government decided to spend money on military weapons instead of on food. As a result, those dying of starvation in that country were left to rot. Much of the suffering in our world, not all of it, but much of it, is a direct consequence of human selfishness and foolishness. When I see around me rape, divorce, child abuse, and starvation, I'm strongly reminded of the huge cost God bears in giving us the ability to reject his ways.
Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening.